The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast and We Talk Podcast from the Fresh Take Network. I'm Joshua Adam, I am Arathnot, and Stick Boy's own, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, we promised if there was another big day in wrestling on the Tuesday, we would be back. And then, just hours after we put that podcast up, big news broke. And yeah. It changes a lot of it answers kind of a lot of questions from booking for the last 3 weeks. And it kind of changes, I guess, a small complexion of WrestleMania and leaves us with a lot of questions. So do you want to tell the story or do you want me to tell the story?
You can tell the story.
All right. So I woke up this morning around 3 o'clock Mountain Time and I had seen that Dean Ambrose is going to be done with his contract in April. This was first reported by Wade Keller. As I do every morning before I go to work, I listen to the Wrestling Observer News Radio, and Dave Meltzer said that the news was coming in, and he was trying to figure it out. Well, the news kept on piling in from different sources until the WWE themselves finally released a statement saying Jonathan Good, who is the real name of Dean Ambrose, would not be renewing his contract with the WWE in April, which we've never seen them do before. And we're going to get on that. Some of the stuff now that's came out of why he's done this is he hasn't liked the script of promos. He's thought a lot of the stuff that he was doing was hokey. He loves wrestling. He's not enjoying himself right now. There was a rumor they wanted to keep this really, really quiet. But last night, the rumor started growing and growing and growing until it finally got out of the locker room. But again, I think the most surprising part out of all of this is that we've had stuff from the Revival the past week, from the Canellas, or the Bennetts, whatever you want to call them, and from Dolph Ziggler. None of those were touched on. Chris Jericho, when he went to AEW, we never really got anything on that. He just left. This is something that we have not seen maybe ever. A guy that's leaving 4 months from now with a notice on the Instagram, the Twitter. You know,
we have seen it once before. It was my time, at least. Apparently, they announced Kevin Nash was leaving, and then he showed up in the summer with
WCW. Which is funny, because I just listened to Something to Wrestle With, and they were talking about they had agreed with this before he left, and then he did the Punisher, then he came back and did one thing, and then left. But as far as what we've ever had, the closest thing, I guess, would be Punk.
Yeah, but they were very quiet on that until they let him go on his wedding day.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the summer of Punk, when they said, oh, his contract's running out soon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing we've had to it, of knowing a superstar is staying within the company. Now, I don't know if he is staying in the company. I don't know if he's going to be on Raw next week. There's been no confirmation of that.
I imagine you'd want to have him work until the end.
You would. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's been no confirmation on that.
I think, and there's been no confirmation on if they're going to have rollover for his injury suddenly, just as his contract's expiring, go, oh, by the way, you still owe us this amount.
Well, I would have thought that, but if they're saying he's done in April, from the official announcement, you would assume that it's April.
It's going to be interesting to see, because this could be a storyline, this could be legit, there's no real way.
We're back in the situation that we were with Kenny Omega again, in a way.
I think Kenny, we had a better idea where that was going. This one, I have no idea what's happening. Because for them to release a statement like this is very weird.
They've never done it. They never answer. Well, I mean, we've seen a lot of the nevers today. There was an AEW shirt on the front row of SmackDown. So that's apparently done and over with.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was right on camera side when Brian was doing his promo. I thought it was really funny, just a side note. You can tell they went and they had on the AEW shirt, and then they tried to get a cut, and then it was like two guys that were in Young Buck shirts. It's like, we can't get away from this.
It just keeps showing its ugly head.
As far as Ambrose goes, yeah, we have no confirmation as of this recording right now if he'll even be on Raw, if he'll be at WrestleMania, these next two pay-per-views. That's why we very well could have had the Seth match last night as just the blow-off. Seth finally gets his win over him, and you're done. That could have been it.
Yeah. It's funny because if Seth's gone, not Seth, if Dean is gone and Roman's still on the shelf for a considerable amount of time.
If not ever.
The only guy left standing from the Shield is Seth. It's like that era where the Shield ran on top is gone.
Yeah.
And it's going to be weird because you could always count on all three of those being in some way, shape, or form involved in the main event. And now that's ceased to exist potentially. And I mean, we just never got a true Shield reunion.
Every time.
They just seem to be cursed, and at this point, it just now with this, it's probably better for all parties. I think like Dean was among our worst for awards end of the year last year, and maybe this is a chance for Dean to find his footing again and be that workhorse champion. Like we saw him be the workhorse champion for them, and he wrestled an opening match at one house show and the main event at another house show because they needed Dean Ambrose. There were always rumors floating around that for AEW that there's someone in the main event that could potentially jump over to AEW, and no one had any idea who it was. And now we have kind of an idea who potentially could be, because if you go back, Josh, and you listen to the Dean Ambrose Chronicle, there are points of the things that he's saying in there that sound like he's very much one foot out the door in there, and everyone glossed over it. And now couple that with almost dying from a MRSA staph infection from a tricep shoulder surgery not going right the first time, and him almost dying. He's probably came to a point where he's like, you know what? I need to be happy. I need to be do my thing, and I need to do what I think is best for me. There are all reports that he's been super frugal with money. He doesn't spend money willy nilly. So he could pretend he can go, and it's not a big deal. Like the report from Ambrose was that he was offered 5 years, a seven-figure contract. And he turned it down. He's like, I'm not trying to get more money. I'm just done. And I think if I was AEW, I'd take a shot on him. There's a bunch of fans that are obsessed with Dean Ambrose. So for him to...
Especially the ladies.
Yeah. I think he could easily gain a following. And if Dean can do what I think Dean could potentially do on the indies, I think Dean will just be fine.
Yeah, there is a female demographic with Dean Ambrose that is not seen with many male superstars. It's pretty crazy, as I found out today. There's a lot of Dean Ambrose female fans.
Well, among this fan base, there is a select group, and I don't want to paint them all the same color, but there's a very small, I like to say it's a very small group of fans that are Dean Ambrose fans that believe that he married Renee Young to protect his real girlfriend.
Who's his real girlfriend?
No idea.
Okay.
But Renee is just, I guess, a beard for him to hide his girlfriend. I don't know. It was weird.
Sure. I know that Renee got a lot of harassment when they got married. I want to talk about Renee in a second, but kind of going to start a little bit of a new feature here. Bill Simmons did this segment a while ago, the start of the NBA season, where he picked NBA players' years and they kind of put it together with a wine. So you have like a 2007 Kobe, right? Which was the year like Kobe dropped 81 points. He was unbelievable. The 16 Dean Ambrose, the early 16 Dean Ambrose is a very nice year. That's when he almost wins the Rumble. That's when he goes into that Roadblock pay-per-view with Triple H, and he just seems white hot. Then he gets picked as the number one pick on SmackDown. He seems great. He's having good matches with AJ Styles for the championship. He had that three-way with Cena and AJ. he wins the Shield triple threat. He wins the Money in the Bank that year. They did a great job that made Dean Ambrose phenomenal. And that's why when he was away with injury, it's like, this is good. We're going to forget about Dean Ambrose, and then he's going to come back as a heel, which he's meant to play. We've seen the footage in FCW. I saw the show FCW, but most people have seen the footage, the clips of him with the feud against William Regal, of that one promo during WrestleMania weekend, again against Mick Foley. We knew this heel persona could be amazing, and that he can get dark and disgusted and twisted. And instead, he got vaccinated.
Yeah, when you look at the tail end, like you could trace it back to maybe that Austin Pod, the Brock match. There were definitely some things that threw Dean off, and it just kind of, he never fully recovered from it. He never, I don't know if it was booking or if it's Ambrose. There's probably multiple factors in this, but he never found his proper footing. And now I think at this point, and this is a thing now with AEW, this is a big deal, is if guys lose their footing or feel like they're just not clicking, they can go somewhere else to try their hand and try to not necessarily raise their stock to come back to WWE, because I don't think some guys, their goal is to get back to the WWE. Ambrose has done all the things in WWE that you'd need to do in a wrestling career. Mm-hmm. He now can go to AEW. He can go to Japan. He can go work CCW again. He can go do a bunch of things. And then I think he'd be perfectly fine and content with that. This really speaks to the situation WWE is in now, because we're seeing it. Suddenly tag team wrestling is very important to WWE, and there's a formation of tag teams happening where you're like, oh, they're really trying to build up this tag team division, which is good and smart, but I feel like they're reacting to All Elite Wrestling. Say what you will about All Elite.
One of the requests the Revival had. The Revival had that request and was granted.
Yeah. And my thing is, with All Elite Wrestling, you can't – I don't think WWE is scared of them, but they're scared of losing guys to them. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. They're not scared of All Elite Wrestling as knocking them down, but they're scared of All Elite Wrestling taking their guys. And that could eventually chip away at
WWE. It was also their weakest division, the division they needed to build up. The women are the strongest division right now. The men are whatever. The men, they're fine. They're just not as strong as the women's division right now. The tag team division was the weakest, and they needed to build it up, and they're doing an okay job lately of building it back up.
Yeah, and I think that you look at it, it's a response to All Elite Wrestling, because you got to think the Bucks are running the tag team division in All Elite Wrestling. I don't think it's going to be a bad division, and I think that they're kind of looking at it as, we got to get these guys going. You saw on SmackDown, the Good Brothers were serious. It wasn't joking around. It was, we're serious about this. We saw the tag team match that was good on SmackDown. So we're seeing that tag team wrestling suddenly getting pushed to the forefront, which is good. And this is the type of thing that All Elite Wrestling can do for wrestling, is it pushes the WWE to do different things and to push things that they've otherwise been stagnant on. It's too late for Ambrose, because Ambrose is out the door. But you gotta sit there and look at your roster now and go, okay, Ambrose wasn't happy. Ambrose is leaving. Who else on this roster could potentially be unhappy? And who else could we need to necessarily work with and try to get them back going, and try to kind of, you can't just push a guy for the sake of pushing a guy. That doesn't work. But if you work with a guy, find some footing, and it doesn't have to be the main event, but if you start building certain guys up, then I feel more guys will be like, oh, okay, so things are kind of turning around here. I'm feeling better. Let's keep it going. With Ambrose, very clearly was not a happy camper. Well, not necessarily a happy camper, because he still, from all accounts, he handled this super professionally, and it was just, it got up to the dirt sheets.
The question is this a work? Because the statement and how it's released is something we've never seen before. And there's a few kind of weird signs. Like, he had some bantering with Hunter. Maybe that's something. And then he had that segment where he was sitting in the ring, where he got interrupted. And what was that about? What was that supposed to be? Was that them going to what this was going to be? I don't know. So I will say, like, I'm going to say, like, I'm 70-30 that he's leaving.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just they've never put out a statement. Even with Punk, they just did it on the show. They're like, his contract's running up, and Punk will tell you he was ready to leave. Like, he had every intention of leaving, but he liked the build-up to everything they were doing so much that that's why he agreed to stay. And then we know the rest of that story. With Ambrose, they've never actually released a statement saying this guy will not be returned in this many days.
Yeah, it creates for an interesting story and dynamic. If we don't see Ambrose on TV anymore, then the answer's already set. Maybe they released that because Ambrose was advertised for a bunch of stuff. They're like, well, you know what? You're done. You can just go home because we don't... You've had your match with Seth, and this is it. So let's let you just go home. You can rest up, and you can just write out the rest of your contract, and we'll move forward. The machine's never going to stop. They just pop on a new gear. So
yeah, well, we're going to be watching Raw with a keen eye to see what's up with him. The next question is a smaller question, but now everyone's going to be asking what the deal with Renee is and what's the future of Renee. I don't know Renee's contract. Nobody knows Renee's contract.
But it sounds like it's still got a little bit more time on it.
Okay. And you and I had mentioned that we thought Beth was a better commentator than Renee. I think she's kind of got in the system. The promo, the commentary during the Kurt and Corbin match was unbearable between her and Graves last night. It was just terrible. She started off really good, like all color commentators do. Everyone that we've ever liked that, like, oh, we kind of like them, like JBL for a while, right? Or Matt Stryker for a while. Sooner or later, and Corey Graves, sooner or later, they're worn down, mashed down, and then they just become whatever. And Renee had it for a bit, and now she's like, eh. And that's probably going to happen if Beth Phoenix goes in that position too. The question will just be what happens with Renee, because I know at one point there was an offer from ESPN for her. ESPN badly wanted her, and she re'd up with the WWE. Now you got to wonder, I can't imagine her going to AEW, to be honest, but I wonder, will she maybe look at some of these? She's big into comedy. She has a podcast with one of her friends. Maybe she looks at this as a chance to maybe try to go down the comedy route, maybe try to do something else, or maybe she just re-ups with WWE and she just works there and her husband don't. We've seen a lot of examples recently of spouses that work in different companies with Donna Peruzzo and Marty Scurll. One works in NXT, one works in ROH. We've seen it with Adam Cole and Britt Baker. One's NXT, one's AEW. So it's not like this hasn't happened, right? We know that this can happen. It's just looking back to Total Divas, Renee made a big deal about during the draft that she needed to be on the same show as Dean. That's where I'm going with a lot of this. And I know Total Divas is what Total Divas is, but I think there's a little bit of truth to that. So we'll see what happens with Renee, if they ask Renee anything about it. If Dean's not on Raw next week, or maybe we get a statement saying he's not going to be on Raw, I can't imagine we would, then we'll have more answers. But Raw's going to kind of be a must-see next week just to see if Ambrose is on it or not.
Yeah, Ambrose suddenly becomes a big part of the show, whether he's there or not. And I mean, with Renee, that one is, no one has any information on it. We know that there's been interest in the past. We know that she's well-liked in WWE. So she's in a good spot right now because she kind of controls where she's going to go. And I don't think Ambrose is like, you have to follow me. It sounds like everything was very amicable split between both Dean and the WWE, if this is real. The fact that they released this, I feel as though there is some respect there for Dean just going and being not dragging this out and being hush hush about it, just being like, I'm done. I think that if this is real, then I think there's some respect to Ambrose for how he's handled it.
Absolutely. So we will monitor the situation. We will see how it's handled. As of right now, we just have to go on the report that the WWE put out saying that he's gone. And if he's gone, you know, it was a mixed bag of a career, to be honest. There was some highs, but there was a lot of lows. Like, if you go back to our review last year, he is all over the worst of show. And you can put some of it on creative, but sometimes people get shitty creative and make things work. I look at Perry Saturn with Moppy. That was one of the worst gimmicks given, and he made that mop get over. And he made it work, and people cared about Perry Saturn. So you can be given bad creative, but you can also overcome it by being charismatic, entertaining, and just being a better entertainer. Look at R-Truth, right? He could have been down with the silly gimmick of being afraid of ladders and all that, but R-Truth consistently worked and made stuff work. And so I think it's a little bit of an attitude and a little bit of bad booking, but it's still on the performer themselves if you're given something to try to get it over. Look at Goldust. That was half – and the polka dots with Dusty. Those were both to embarrass the Rhodes family, and they got both of those things over.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure Dean might do something after and be like, oh, they gave me the vaccination gimmick and the Bane gas mask and all this stuff. Yeah, that stuff is shit. But as a performer, it's on you to try to get it over. No matter how bad it is, you have to try to get it over.
You gotta make things work. You're not always in control of what you're gonna do. You have bosses, you have people in charge, and sometimes you just gotta accept the way things are and make it work.
Like the Hurricane, when he came out with the superhero, I didn't think that would work. Did. Again, the number one to me was Moppy. The fact that Moppy got over, there was a Moppy t-shirt. And then going to the back to the tag team part two, when Sheamus and Cesaro were put together, we were like, this is the stupidest thing ever. This will never work. And that's probably one of WWE's greatest tag teams of all time now. And you can imagine the bar not being together.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how this Nakamura and Rusev one works or whatever other tag team they're creating. But the bottom line is you got to succeed with your creative. As far as whatever happens to Ambrose, I know I'm shitting on him a little bit. I did enjoy him as a performer. Not recently. It's go away heat for me with Dean Ambrose recently. So I hope that if he does leave, I'd love to see him versus Joey Janela in a hardcore match. I think they would absolutely tear down the show. The big question, Joel, is if his contract has expired on April, and if it is legit, does he have to wait 90 days?
No, from my understanding, the 90 days only ties in if you ask for your release.
So he can do double or nothing.
Yeah, he could absolutely do double or nothing. He could be who Kenny feuds with.
Okay, so there you go. So that is that. We'll keep you updated for that. Let's move to SmackDown. It was a weird show, an entertaining show, and I'm still wrapping my mind around a lot of stuff. First off, just little things. So on Raw, we had these qualifying matches, and next week we do too. But if your name is Mandy and Sonya Deville, you can just say you're going in.
Yeah, I bet you there's a few tag teams on Raw going, well, I should have just said we're on the match.
Yeah. But like we're announcing ourselves in the match, and meanwhile Natty's like, I could have done that. Oh, I had to have Dana Brooke as my tag team partner. I could have just said I'm in and then find somebody later. Well, that sucks.
Logic is thrown out the window with WWE booking.
I did like the Mandy reasoning for Trinity. For Naomi. You know, I just liked it because they remembered something from the past and they used it. They rarely do that anymore, so I was just happy they used Tough Enough for a reason.
Yeah, everything kind of comes around. I thought that was an all right reason. Like, I mean, the feud is what it is, but add that little bit another wrinkle to it works. And I like Sonya, so this is getting her to another good spot. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good call.
Yeah, I like that and that. We're going to the lesser segments and working our way up like we do now. The Miz segment, I know they're hitting this stuff with the dad, and I guess the big if this leads to Vince segment with Shane and Vince trying to say I'm proud of you, then it's worth it for me because that's what I want.
Yeah, I want to see that. I could absolutely see the Miz trying to drag. I was honestly waiting for Shane to turn on Miz at this point. I just was like. Seems like the way he's talking, I'm expecting him to throw a bunch of punches and just cheap shot the Miz. And I was waiting for him to punch Miz's dad, to be honest.
I was thinking that a little bit too. So now do we think the Usos are beating them at EC or are waiting until Fastlane?
They'll eke out another win and then they'll lose at Fastlane.
And then we'll get going with that. And then, so we had then the rest of the segments –
Rey and Andretti still going. Liked everything that we saw with that. Zelina Vega coming back from Sundance and getting a good promo in. And then the U.S. title madness. We have a new U.S. champ.
It was weird. It wasn't a botch. That was all planned.
Yeah, I know. It was to create a tag team for Rusev Nakamura, and R-Truth is the United States champion.
Boy, Truth took some stiff shots there.
Mm-hmm.
There were at least a few times where I'm like, ooh, that had to hurt.
But look at, I like the Truth got it because Truth has been the good soldier, right? He has willing to make himself consistently look like an idiot in Rumbles, in ladder matches, in any segment. He's been the consistent good soldier. Whenever they need him for a comedy bit, he was always there. So I kind of looked at like this as, and he's been with the company for so long. I kind of look at this as a nice like reward for him.
Yeah. Yep.
He got attacked by Nia. And I like the reasoning of that. Like, he got attacked by Nia. He lost his spot. So he gets he couldn't go in the Royal Rumble, so he gets a reward. And I liked that when he came out, too, he didn't do any comedy. I did like the lack of comedy in this when it wasn't necessary today. It was a lot of serious segments when they needed to be serious segments. R-Truth was pissed off he couldn't be in the Rumble. He knew he deserved an opportunity. He got that. The Good Brothers would knock and Rusev in the back, I love that. I loved Rusev. I loved the way that he cut a promo. I loved Knox look. Loved all of that because there was no jokes. It was a serious matter, and the tone of that was really well done and really executed well.
Yep.
As for Truth getting both pins, that was very surprising that he pins Nakamura and Rusev.
Yeah, well, it forms a tag team, and they're going to face the Good Brothers.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the Good Brothers get to be on TV for a week. Cologne's went and hide again, and Sanity is back on the shelf, apparently.
Yep.
No Lacey Evans this week, and no EC3. EC3, I don't know what to make of. Do you think they were going to send Lacey Evans back down after the debauchery of her Rumble debut?
I would mean they would admit, Vince would admit fault.
So, maybe it wasn't his call to call her up. Who knows?
I think Vince was one that said who he wanted up. I can't see Hunter being like, you get this person, this person, this person. I can see them going to Hunter and being like, what do you think? And by all accounts, I it sounds like he was a little resistant on the Lacey Evans call up. So So I think he recognized it and he was like, all right, Vince, let's give it a go.
So far, these NXT call-ups have been, well, I mean, Nikki, we know, is promoted next week, but I don't know what they're doing with EC3. I thought for sure, we touched about it the other day, he'd be in the Rumble. I thought Heavy Machinery looked good again tonight. I'd like them, these NXT personalities, to kind of find a show so we can start, you know, planning where they're going to go with everything. Lacey Evans, for all I know, Bliss lost on Monday, so maybe they're going to go back to that well on next Monday with Bliss and Lacey Evans. I don't know. And that means that Bliss has to carry that match, so that's going to be a little scary for her since she was just out for 5 months.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle all of it.
And then the big segment of the night, we have a new WWE Championship.
Yep. Well, you skipped over... are you saving the one segment for the main event?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that is going to be the main event. But yeah, we have a new WWE Championship.
Oh, and man.
It's actually a really nice looking title. They're going to sell a lot of these.
Yeah. And we very well could have the first wellness policy violation for Daniel Bryan.
Oh, right. For the hemp.
Yeah, he could be smoking the title. and Samoa Joe openly said on Twitter that he wants to... What did Joe say? Joe had something about the title. The whole thing just...
Matt Riddle looks, really wants that title.
Oh, yes, he wants that title.
RVD also, maybe Sabu.
Yeah, there's a long list of people that are in line for that title. And Samoa Joe said on Twitter, I want all the smoke. So, So it's a sought after title now. I love it. I love the whole thing. Daisy died for our sins, apparently.
Daisy. They chanted a cow's name.
That's how over Daniel Bryan.
I knew as soon as he's like, and the cow's name is, like, they're gonna chant that damn cow's name, aren't they? I'm like, cause I knew if I was on the show, I'd try to chant the cow's name.
Thank you, Daisy.
Yeah. Goodbye, Daisy.
it was great. It just makes Bryan.
It does. Just
makes him more. I love the way he to everyone coming in the ring, how quickly he scurried away and was holding that title. It kind of reminds me of Tommaso Ciampa with the with Goldie. Yep.
Ew.
I think Harper's going to come in and help Bryan.
I was going to say it goes dark and the Harper and Bray come out.
I don't know about Bray. I don't know. Harper, I can see. Maybe Bray they want to put on Raw.
Maybe. Bray's been out now for almost a year.
Yeah, he's completely gone MIA.
Matt Hardy's clear too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to use Hardy, though.
Yeah, you think he's just done?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was really well. We set up Elimination Chamber. I'm imagining Bryan's going to come out of Elimination Chamber successfully. But I still have no idea who's going to challenge him for who he's going to challenge for the title.
No.
Maybe AJ. It may be AJ.
Yeah. I will say, based on everything that from that little promo that we saw, man, I kind of want it to be Joe. I kind of want Joe to go after Joe Bryan for the title.
Was unbelievable in his promo.
If you want to have two, and that Wendy line to AJ was great. Like, every time he went, like, the AA meeting line, that Joe's, the Bryan promo leading up to the title is must-see, and listening to Joe's promo is must-see.
Yeah, I would very much, if we're not going to get Cena and Joe, and Joe, God willing, no injury, is going to make his first WrestleMania, that would be a great way if the idea is to finally let Joe win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
And then he can light it on fire in the middle of the ring.
Someone's lighting that title on fire.
Oh, yeah. There very well could be a hazy cloud over MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. So that segment happened. I thought it was great. Bryan's killing it. I'm so happy Eric Rowan brought back the Vintner theme song. Love that theme. I love that one. I like the Bludgeon theme. I was like, is he going to come out to the Bludgeon's theme? But he came out to the Vintner theme. So I'm very happy about that. And I kept on waiting for him to call him a Vintner. Maybe we'll get there one day that he's been secretly doing Bella Wine. Do you think eventually they're going to bring Brie in here as a heel with him?
No.
They're just going to leave it completely alone? Well, I mean, because that's if you want heel heat, you get the Bellas. Except for, like, the Bella Army side. And then we had a really fun 24 hours, Joel.
Yeah.
It was fun.
This is a sign of the tone deafness of WWE. I think everyone wants just the one-on-one match, and the one-on-one match makes the most sense, but we're going with a triple threat.
Yeah, no Becky, Oscar on this show, by the way.
Yeah. This is one thing nice about SmackDown is you don't have to use everyone, so it gives everyone kind of a pause for a week. And then you can move on to the next set for them.
I forgot Jeff Hardy was on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But we didn't get the American feed, so we missed promos from Randy, Jeff, and we got like half Ali's. Because in America, they roll like a picture-in-picture. So they have the commercials in the show. In Canada, they just go to commercials, unfortunately. So that's why, if you're wondering why are we talking about those promos, is because we didn't see them.
Yeah, they were lost on us. But we got to see the Joe promo, so that's all that matters.
Yes. So Charlotte attacked Ronda. And Ronda. Charlotte attacked Becky. And now we're going with this is Becky Hurt storyline.
Yeah, she's got that limp, man. And that limp makes me a little nervous. I think it's not as bad as what I think they're playing it up a bit. But I'm quite interested to find how healthy Becky is.
Well, Meltzer said it's completely kayfabe.
Really? Okay.
That's completely kayfabe. It's not a real leg injury.
Good. That makes me a happy, happy camper, because there was a part of me like, is Charlotte just destined to main event WrestleMania against Ronda?
Well, this was always the original plan since last year. It was supposed to be Charlotte and Ronda,
and then
Becky got over.
Yeah, and boy, is Becky over.
I mean, if you put Charlotte in there, whatever, she's still going to be the ultimate babyface in that match. But it's you just talk to anybody. Everyone that I have talked to, even casuals that watched that last night, they're like, they cannot possibly put Charlotte into this match. Because I was just shocked by the overwhelming amount of people that saw that segment last night. Raw did tremendous ratings last night, and I think a big part of that was that segment. And Ronda turning on the Flash, and then Becky turned it on. It's like people were giving the Rock and Austin comparisons.
It was a good segment. Like, it's definitely something that you're like, oh, this is lightning in the bottle. We can't screw with this.
No, but they will, and they're gonna put Charlotte into it. That's the plan, and I think you'd be much better just doing another Charlotte and Becky match at Elimination Chamber, one-on-one. Becky wins that, or maybe the Horsewoman, because we may be fast shooting. Apparently, when Becky came down, she put up four fingers to Bayley, and Bayley put up four when she passed her.
Yeah, subtle little nods that people will catch and be like, ooh, where's this leading to?
So I don't know. Maybe the Four Horsewomen thing happens, and then Charlotte and Becky bird in the hatch or whatever, and we move forward to just that match, and Charlotte goes on for the rematch versus Asuka. I don't know, but I think like 98% of me, and Dave and Meltzer would even consider, like, it's still a three-way. He's like, nothing has changed. He's like, they were very impressed by what happened on Raw, but it's a three-way. Nothing has changed. It's the main event. 100% it's the main event. Nothing. Brock and Seth aren't the main event. Whoever Brian faces isn't the main event. This is the main event of WrestleMania. It's Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte. It's just how they're going to fit Charlotte into it.
They'll find a way. Shoehorn, I mean, Charlotte.
So I think the idea is still to have Becky winning, but I could very well see Ronda winning it.
Yeah.
So there we go. It was an action-packed another week. I have a few things I want to talk about on the side here, but any thoughts from you on the whole segment, Joel?
I thought it was a good segment. I really liked it. I thought that you look at that segment, and it does a good job of establishing Becky as someone that does not care. And the fact that she turned her back to Charlotte and walked smiling and barely fazed by Charlotte is that almost like, nothing can touch me right now. Your arms are too short to box with me type mentality. And I really like it. Just embrace that it's a three-way. I'm very, very hopeful Becky gets the win, but like you said, I can see Ronda, and I think Becky's third on my list. I think it goes Ronda, it goes Charlotte, and then Becky for winning at Mania. But you know what? This is gonna be a fun ride. Becky's done very well, and she's really over right now. Let's see how long this they can get this going to Mania.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes to Mania. Any other news and notes from today?
I think that's about it.
Okay, well, I just wanted to, I got a chance to see the PC put up a bunch of videos from the Royal Rumble and telling the women that they would be in the Rumble, the women of NXT. And, man, that was a phenomenal video. The actual video of them showing them going in the Rumble, the video in that video you have Casey Catanzaro with Ricochet, which is just melt your damn heart. It's hard to not get emotional with that. I thought the best one was the male video and Aleister Black's reaction to just after he'd been eliminated. Was amazing.
The passion that he had in that video and just how much he gives a damn about wrestling tells you that this guy, though he's kind of cooled off in NXT, it would take just the lightest spark to light him back on fire for NXT, and I think he could be a guy that could potentially break the NXT curse on the main roster and do well. I say that, and then in a couple months he is doing a dance off. But for now, we're gonna believe that Aleister Black can find his footing
It's just so crazy, right? Because like we're fans, and we know how we'd be in that moment if we were selected to go in the Royal Rumble. And you see it with them, and it just makes you like, all right, they still have the mentality that we do. They just happen to have that job right now.
Yeah, and it's the like Aleister Black said, it's best job in the world.
Yeah, and just seeing Ricochet just break down, it's like, I know it's this whole like, oh, stars, they're just like us kind of bullshit, but you see Ricochet just break down from Casey doing the spot that she did in the Rumble, and it's like, this is just a normal, like, we look at Ricochet like this unbelievable superstar that does all these amazing things, and here he's blubbering just because he's super happy for his girlfriend, like any of us would be. And yeah, that was a real, I hope that there's more videos like that. I thought them doing with the PC is really, really well. The women's division, the future, just from what you see in there, Rhea Ripley is going to be in a WrestleMania main event. Mark it down, write it down. I'll put it in Sharpie. Rhea Ripley will be in a main event. She is the future of the women's division.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I and Toni Storm is right there behind her, and Io Shirai is right there behind her too. I like the kind of tease between Rhea Ripley and Ruby Riott. I'm like, that's a tag team I would really like more than the Riott Squad. Rhea Ripley and Ruby Riott, I want to see that tag team.
It just you just see these wrestlers as people.
You absolutely do, and because with Rhea, like, using so much of her being this tough badass, right, and then getting her like just wearing a Rick and Morty shirt in Matt Bloom's office, being like, I'm in the Rumble, what? It was really cool. Also, a note about that all is that apparently Candice LeRae was wearing Tegan Nox gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously her and Tegan Nox are really good friends. If you know the Tegan Nox story, it's absolutely heartbreaking. She
just can't catch a break.
No, I needed someone to wear some Dakota Kai stuff, though.
That'll come with time.
A break, too. Dakota Kai was an absolute heartbreak, and a speedy recovery to her, because that girl's super talented, too. The women's division right now, the future of it is absolutely unbelievable, the talent they're going to have. Like, it's crazy. Like, they may need, like, a women's intercontinental title soon, because there's just so much women's talent. And it comes back to the argument you and I had yesterday. One argument, the discussion of, do we need to start having just separate men and women shows? Because there's so much women's talent. There's so much men's talent too. I mean, we're going to see it at halftime with the NXT 6, but there's so much women's talent too. It's like, are we going to get to a point? Like, are we just going to have a designated men's brand and women's brands, or like, how are we going to juggle all this talent? Because there's just so many talented people at NXT and NXT UK right now. It's ridiculous.
They got deep rosters. It's just a matter of how they use them.
And it's not to mention on the main roster with the Mandy Rose and a Sonya Deville, for example, who you and I are both super high on. And Mandy has everything they want. And I think Sonya could be just a super duper star. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg for some of the talent that they have out there right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for the future of where all this is going, because there's so many possibilities to all this that I think it's just worthwhile to keep your eyes on. See who breaks through in 10 years. See who is the big time players. Who would have guessed Becky Lynch would be in the position that she's in?
Well, she said from the pre-show to the main event, I mean, I didn't even know who Casey Canzago really was as an in-ring performer. I just knew she was Ricochet's girlfriend. And I spent the last few days like looking at stuff on her, same as Xia Li, who had the best reaction of going to the Rumble. The best one was her. And I know who Io Shirai is, but I thought that was the one really cool thing about that Women's Rumble is you got the no characters you didn't get to know. Like, I haven't really seen anything from, I think her name is Donna Peruzzo, the one that Marty Scurll's dating. I haven't got to see a lot from her, but I saw some PC videos of her talking, and she seemed really entertaining. So I'm excited to see what she has. And obviously Chelsea Green, who we know is in the Performance Center, haven't seen anything even yet from Chelsea Green, and we know what she could do in Impact. So definitely a lot of bright. There's also a few NXT men watching this PC YouTube show. Brennan Williams seemed like he had a lot of charisma as well.
Yeah, there's just that's why YouTube is invaluable to these guys, because you can get little things over that matter.
BTE, and it's so accessible.
It matters, because you can get guys over and you can organically build caring about these people. And when they go into the ring and when they cut promos, it just matters that much more. You watch the Men's Royal Rumble and you just want Johnny as a babyface. Like, there's a picture on Twitter of him watching Candace, and it's like, yeah, a little kid watching someone wrestle. And it's just like, it reminds you so much of why everyone liked Johnny wrestling. So this just works, and it's time to keep using these, because it's accessible to anyone. Anyone can go online and find these, and you can go down a rabbit hole learning about these guys. Like, they had a documentary on Matt Riddle moving to Florida that was really good, and you got to know Matt Riddle and his family. So it's one of those things where it's just like, this matters, and this is important, and this is something that you can do to help build these people up.
Even they had the Bianca Belair, they were following her, and she had a line because she's married to Montez Ford from the Street Profits. And she just talked about how Montez Ford was a lifelong wrestling fan and was dying to be in this business, and she knew nothing about it. She was just this athlete that WWE recruited, and Montez Ford showed her all the tapes and keeps on teaching her different things. And Montez Ford came up with EST, and he came up with the braids, and he came up with the hair and most of her character traits. It's like, I would have never known that Montez Ford would have had that much influence on the Bianca Belair character. But then you get an idea, and then you still get the classic Mia Yim making fun of Shelton on stuff. So
yep,
that always works too. That's always a go-to classic.
Yeah.
So if you haven't subscribed, I'm not trying to be a shill, but just, I really got a full chance with those Rumble videos coming up today to really look at that WWE PC channel. I think it's a really well-done tool to show some talents that you know, but other talent that you don't know. And because Casey Canzago is in a lot of these videos beforehand answering questions, and she comes off, I don't know if you can make her a heel. Like, she just comes off so innocent and so sweet, and maybe that's just because she's starting in the business right now, but she can be a huge baby face, especially with the moveset that you can have for her.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, also, yeah, for the men, Brennan Williams, really liked what I saw from him in some stuff. And you know, the WWE is definitely not short on creative and producers from the past. Now with this week with hiring, what is it now, Sanjay Dutt? They have the other Daivari, so the Daivari brothers both work there now. Yeah, Sean Daivari's back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Sean Daivari, Jeff Jarrett, Abyss, Hurricane Helms. Although, here's the debate: will he be Shane Helms or Gregory Helms backstage? Because God damn it, we can't have two Shanes.
It'll be Shane Helms.
You think so? It won't be Gregory Helms?
No. I could see Vince changing that, but for now, I think Vince won't notice.
Yeah, he's just Shane Helms. So there you go. A very interesting start of the day with the Dean Ambrose news, and we'll be following where that all goes. And a pretty good SmackDown, I guess. Yeah. Interesting at the very least. They furthered some of the storylines, so that's all that matters.
All that matters is we got that eco-friendly title, and Daisy can finally rest in peace.
Brian is in a weird spot of, he's going to get over and he's going to become a babyface, because he's just too entertaining.
Yeah, it's working too well. This is Brian's arguably one of the best characters in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown has the two hottest attractions right now, with Brian and with Becky Lynch, and Becky's obviously headed to Raw, so they'll still have Daniel Bryan there. But SmackDown, I think that's why, another reasons I enjoy Ajahn, because they have both of those connections work so well for them. So we'll, and Andrade is finally getting booked correctly, and I loved everything we've seen with Raw. Elimination Chamber is adding up really nicely. I think too, the rumor is now that Kurt will be going in that possible take match. with Strowman against Drew and Corbin. There was something floating out today of Kurt versus Drew at WrestleMania.
No.
That's where Drew could go. We had Drew versus Brock Lesnar, Drew versus Braun Strowman, and now we have Drew versus Kurt Angle. With, I would assume, Kurt Angle beating him.
Nope. Not in it. Kurt can barely turn his body. Like, there's some point where you're just like, I don't know if it's worth you keep going like this.
Well, the news never stops coming. We knew that Dean Ambrose was on his way out, and now a member of the 205 team is out, as Hideo Itami is no longer with the WWE. He was asked and granted his release. We don't know where he's going, if he's going to wrestle again. And yeah, he just recently, Sean Ross, right? That's his name?
Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com.
He had reported that Kenta was asked, and Kenta had confirmed on his Twitter and said thank you. So that is it. I don't know what he did in 205 Live. I know Nakamura had put a picture recently up on his Instagram that just says Kenta on it. So Hideo Itami has been granted his release from the WWE. It was a lot of what could have been and a lot of what didn't happen because injuries just derailed the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a shame that he never got to wrestle Bryan, but I mean, Kevin this Owens. Is there's a lot that there's a lot of missed opportunities, but I mean, this guy just never fully found his footing, partially on WWE, partially on the way things happen, and partially I wonder on him with just the way things were handled. I don't think this is a big. I'll be interesting to see where Kenta goes from here. It's a lot easier to say Kenta now, so I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
That's another big NXT signing that at one point we were really hyped about that's gone now with Pac.
He was arguably the biggest signing for them ever. The one that really started to get the ball rolling. Because Kenta was first, then it was Finn, and then it was Owens, which really started this tradition of getting the big stars in the indies. Yeah, they had gotten Pac, and yeah, they had gotten El Generico, but they weren't at the level of those guys.
No, this was a big deal, and now we live in a world where it just didn't work out, and I don't think that I can see why WWE didn't want to push him as hard, because let's be honest, once you get hurt, it kind of becomes a point where it's like, I don't know if we really want to go down that road again. He never found his footing in NXT, and he kept getting hurt. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So also, just by the way, Sasha Banks has tweeted out declared. ? So goes back to our thing of the tag titles for the women. We just declare we're in. Thanks, guys. As far as Kenta goes, yeah, I mean, the parking lot angle never got figured out. You never know who attacked him in the parking lot.
That will be the point that always broke him.
And then he got back, and then he got hurt again. If he doesn't get hurt at that point, I think he was about to challenge for the NXT championship, right?
Yeah.
Because he won the number one contendership, did he not?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe he did. And then just from that moment, it never really, I hate to admit, I never really saw him on 205 Live. He looked great in that 205 match, though, at the Rumble. He looked tremendous, Hideo did.
Yeah.
But he ate the pin, and you and I were like, oh, they're coming to Hideo a lot. So I don't know. Maybe it's an AEW situation for him. I mean, Lord, him and Kenny Omega, don't even get us started.
Yeah, there's a long rabbit hole. For all we know, he could just go back to NOAH and just do his thing there and be perfectly happy with life.
Or he could go to New Japan.
I don't know. Japan, there's a lot there's a very serious in wrestling about loyalty in Japan.
Yeah, so well, we saw feel, that with Neville, with Pac.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that I think that that could be something that happens eventually. Maybe Japan. I saw some guys from Japan, New Japan, retweeting Kenta. So it's an interesting to watch, but it's another new wrinkle in 2019 of professional wrestling.
It absolutely is. So it's an unfortunate situation for Kenta. I hope that he finds wherever he goes to be the best opportunity for him. We know that he can still be a performer because we saw that at the Rumble, that he can still do it. But I also do think that he has been quite beat up, some really serious injuries. And I know Court Bauer about a year or so ago had been talking about Kenta had not been very happy within the WWE circle, and he was happy to be in the WWE and really wanted to live this dream, but, you know, he got to be at a WrestleMania in an Andre the Battle Royale, so he got to have a WrestleMania moment, I guess, of being there.
That was a big deal because he was he was the guy that we were like, oh, he's gaining a lot of foothold. Didn't he beat Finn to get into that Royal Rumble?
So I think he's the first ever, like, NXT person to be involved outside of, like, a major like Raw or SmackDown or pay-per-view or anything, but was Hideo Itami, I believe. Because that was probably – was that before Charlotte was on a Raw and got pinned by Natty?
I think it was around that time.
Right. So, yeah, there was a lot of put into him. And, I mean, he had the tag match with Finn against the Ascension. And then those two had a match that was really well done. He's in that early stage of NXT with the early run with everybody before it's the NXT what we see now. But he's kind of a part of that first – when they first got a big class, just at the time when it was like Tyler Breeze, Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, and Neville that were running the show. And Bo Dallas as well was a big part of that, right?
Yeah.
When they just started on the network. And then Kenta and Balor and – KO and then eventually Joe came and started this next wave of talent, and now we're at where we are with the Ricochets and the Garganos and the Ciampas and everybody. But Kenta was the first big free agent signing. It was a big deal because it was just a guy you never thought you would see in the WWE was Kenta.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it was cool, and then it didn't work out. And it's a shame, and sometimes that happens.
It is, and you can still see his influence through the last few years in the WWE for talent that uses his moves. Just for example, with Bryan's finisher, and obviously with the DTS influence that Punk used. So his influence stayed strong, even when he wasn't there, and I'm sure now that he's not there again, his influence rang true. I wonder if this is the start of an exodus from 205 Live. Or this is just a special case with Kenta because of the injuries or whatnot in the past. I don't know, but I do wonder if there's an exodus on its way from 205 Live.
I don't think so, but I mean, it very well could start happening.
Yeah. So, and this is the first one that we have seen that they had someone request a release and they let them go.
He's 37, so. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think they're worried if he does go to AEW, he'll have a good match with Kenny Omega, for example, or whoever else, but probably won't be there a long time. And maybe it's also could just be a case like he doesn't even want to go to AEW. He just wants to move back to Japan and just live with his family out there. Maybe he's a promoter or something. Or maybe he wants to try to get Noah back on his feet.
Yeah. He could absolutely play a role in Noah.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, again, for tuning in. Obviously, this news just broke, and I would say, too, like, as far as people to keep an eye on Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Because
I know, like, just from tweets and how close she is with, like, the Revival, for example, I think she's a little unhappy.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason they gave her that Ronda match. But when you see something like the just declared thing, that couldn't have made a lot of the women on Raw very happy. And I know, you know, kayfabe and all that kind of stuff, it is what it is, but you have these women that fought yesterday for these titles, and now Sasha and Bayley have to fight for theirs next week, and Mandy and Sonya just get to say declared. You'd like to think WWE would specify why they just got to declare, but of course they won't.
No.
We will see what happens with that, but everyone, thank you for listening to another exciting episode here of the Wonderful Podcast. He's Joel Johnson with the Stick Boy Podcast Network and all that good stuff, and Josh Radomir from Fresh Take. Thank you for listening to the One Fall Pod. Until next time, cheers.
Daisy had to die for our sins.
Goodbye, Daisy. Goodbye, Daisy. Enjoy the day.
Goodbye. And good night.